does. Awesome stuff. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. Go into the book of Luke. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles, and maybe you left yours at home, maybe you don't own one. We want you to be able to follow along with us. Get one from them, throw your hand up, and just like at Lambert's, they will throw it to you like a hot roll. Get you a Bible. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going today. Make mention, man, listen to that baby. Isn't that awesome? Here's the sad thing. There's so many churches that don't have a baby to hear, you know? That's why, like, every time I hear baby, I'm like, yes, that's awesome. But we're very blessed. No, 2015, moving on, moving forward, starting a new year, all that stuff, you know. I think for so many people, you know, they think about this new year and they think about it every year, kind of the same mentality of like, you know, well, this year, you know, what am I going to try to do different? Or I'm going to, you know, and you think about things, you make resolutions, you know, all this kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. But I think for so many people, the truth is really this. The truth is that we're dragging around 2015, or we're dragging around 2014 or 2013. And I can speak just from getting to be with so many different people through so many different things, that there's a lot of folks that over the last year, the last 2 years, you go back when the economy was bad, you know, people have got all kinds of stuff, stories from that. You know, just of the things that we've been through and the things that we're not proud of and all that stuff. And we carry that stuff around like dead weight a lot of times, you know. And this morning, I want to help you with that. And in fact, I want God to help you with that. I can't help you with that, but I want God to help you with that. And I want you with whatever that bad decision or bad experience or good decision or good experience that you went through last year, the year before, whatever it is. I want you to be able to walk away from it. I want to kind of open up with just this thought. And that's this, that I want us to be reminded that Jesus died on the cross, that we can walk away from literally anything in this world. We are not slaves to any sin. Nothing owns us. And that's a huge piece of this. And so as we're kind of thinking about that, you know, I was thinking about this statement. And I don't know why I remember a friend of mine saying this. I had a friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, that used to say this. But he used to say, make it count. I used to hear him tell other people, make it count. Whether it was staff members, other people we were in conversation with. And for some reason, coming into this year, I've been thinking about that statement. I've been thinking about it a lot. Make it count, make it count, make it count. And so even kind of approaching the message for today, I kind of had in my head, you know, I feel kind of led to do a message that is kind of headed in the direction of, you know, make it count. Make this year count. Make today count. Make my relationships count. Make my time count, you know. And so, in thinking about all that, I started thinking about, priorities, you know, and as we think about priorities and we think about, you know, we have to ask ourselves, if we're talking about priorities, we have to ask this question. I don't think you can do priorities without asking this question. What is the most important thing I need to be doing? What are the most important things? What are the things that are going to command my time? I went to bed last night thinking about all of the stuff that I need to accomplish on Monday. You know, not even talking about today, but talking about Monday. Like, I went to bed thinking about, man, I've got so much stuff that I really need to get done on Monday. Like, people waiting to hear back from me on all these different things and stuff. And I just thought to myself, my gosh, there is no way that I can get everything done that I need to do on Monday. It's just impossible. And I just got thinking, you know, well, you know, maybe if I stay up late tomorrow night and get up early on Monday, and I'll just beat time. You know, I find myself thinking that a lot, you know. The question is, what is most important? What is most important? And of course, we're at church. So, you know, we've got church answers right now. We can think about church answers, right? What's most important? Well, you know, Jesus. Jesus is most important, right? Sunday school answer right here, you know. Jesus is most important. Well, our priorities show whatever we think is most important. Whatever things every day that we live this life show what we think are the most important things for that day. And in light of the whole, like, you know, make it count thing, I actually went to my buddy where he was pastor. You know, I went to the website of the church that he was at and started looking for, I felt like he'd probably done a message called Make It Count or something. I never heard one, never seen one. I never heard him preach it. And preachers don't get to hear each other preach unless you go online and try to listen to somebody. And I try to do that from time to time with different guys. So I went looking. I was like, you know, I want to see what he had to say about this. And I ended up finding this message that wasn't that. I was trying to search that. And somehow I ended up with this other message. He never once says, or not, does it say, make it count. But I found this message, and it was talking about first things first. First things first. First. And he preached it 2 years ago on the first Sunday of the year. This is a friend of mine who passed away a couple later that year. And so I listened to him teach this message. And by the end of it, I was so moved by it, I just felt like I needed to go that direction. And here's the thing with me. I can't re-preach somebody else's message. I have learned I'm terrible at even trying to do that. I don't even try. But if anything, this message today has definitely been heavily influenced with how God spoke to my heart through that. And I share it with you today. Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. We have this. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." So we've got Jesus. Jesus comes to town, and they're having Jesus to the house for a house party. Remember that movie, the house party movie with Kid and Play? Some of y'all don't remember that. You're too young. Verse 40 says this, says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." So we've got Mary, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and it says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her then to help me.'" Martha has a little bit of this disease that we have at my house. I don't know if you have this disease at your house or not. I have these five lovely children. And we in our house, we have upstairs, which is where Pink threw up all over everything, and ponies and things like that abound. And even though we seem to purge these things, I mean, it seems like every 3 months or something. But up there is girl land, I guess you could say. And no precious moments in the house, only if they're used for target practice. Because they're not real angels. Don't get me started. And so, we... Angels are warriors, okay? I can't even stop there. I have to go through it and say it. So at my house, I'll say something like, "Hey, girls," and let's just say I'm talking to the four that are old enough to walk and pick things up and do things. I'll say, "Hey, girls, why don't you guys pick up the bonus room?" The bonus room is where they have the majority of these things that belong to them that you would think they care about, you know, and that they would know where they go. And, you know, and so, you know, when I say that in my head, I'm thinking, okay, these are things that they care about. They know where they go. And there is a team of them to get this done. Right? inevitably, what always happens is if we say, hey, girls, go pick up the bonus room together, help each other, you know, work together, get this done. Inevitably, every single time, we always have at least one, if not three or four of the four, you know, come downstairs and go, so-and-so's not doing anything. And I'm trying to put something away, and then the others are getting other stuff out, and they're playing, and we're supposed to pick up, and the disease is called whining. Maybe it happens at your house too sometimes. I don't know. I'm still looking for the cure. If you find it, let me know. You know, Martha here, we've got Martha and Mary, two sisters, right? And just like good sisters do, one is whining about the other. I mean, you look at it, it's at verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. And then in verse 41, I love Jesus' response. In verse 41, it says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Right? Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. I want you to anchor down on that thing. I'm not trying to be a Vandy person here, by the way. I'm sorry for the Tennessee people, or Alabama, or whatever, whoever you go for. Go Cats. How about that? But it says, one thing is necessary. It says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is up serving, you know, getting food. She's that figure that so many of us know that just, you know, she won't sit down. Just, you know, what can I get you? What can I get you? You need some more gravy? I'll get you some more gravy, you know. You need some more, you know, hot chicken? Yeah, we always need more hot chicken, you know. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we've got two things going on. We've got Martha serving the people, and then we've got Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she is listening to the teachings that Jesus is sharing. And then we've got Martha whining to the Savior of the world who has come to her house, right? And I'm just like, Martha, come on, really? Martha is caught in a spot that a lot of people get caught in. Martha is caught in this spot. She's a doer. She is a doer, and sometimes doers find themselves throwing themselves pity parties like this. Well, it sure would be nice if somebody else would come and help. Have you ever felt that way? It would sure be nice if I didn't have to do this alone. It'd sure be nice if somebody would pitch in at least every other week, you know. And churches all over the planet are full of people like this. You know, here's what happens. We, in the journey of following Jesus, many times we begin to serve Jesus, and then we find ourselves getting to places where our hearts begin to get bitter because we're doing what we're supposed to do, and because other people are not. We become Martha, and we find ourselves, you know, saying these things, if not out loud, in our hearts, and usually we're saying them to Jesus. Let's just be honest. We're like, Jesus, come on. convict that person's heart and get them to help with this, you know, right? It's what we do oftentimes. It's not bad to serve, obviously. But Mary is doing something that has an eternal reward. Something that cannot be taken away from her. As he puts it, she has chosen the good portion, which actually references a lot of Old Testament passages when talking about teachings of God. If you look at verse 40, you see that it says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." She was distracted with much serving. I think this is us. This is us. We are distracted with so many other things that we miss oftentimes our relationship with God. In doing so many other things in this world and having so many other things that we put into and that we care about and enjoy, I mean, we get distracted. We all get distracted. It's like, you know, the shiny things. You know, I love all the shiny things. You know, I want this, you know. And we're like a cat with a Christmas tree, okay? And what happens is the next thing we know, we've been distracted away from what should be first. What should be first? Well, you know what Jesus taught in Matthew 6:33. He said this. He said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means that we're called to pull back from this world and seek God. Now, this is so simple that most of us sitting here go, I've heard messages like this 10,000 times. I might as well not even be here. Whatever. Okay. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? I would say that most of us, if we're being really honest with ourselves, could probably go, probably not. I'm pretty distracted. Pretty distracted. Sometimes with good things. Maybe it is actually you're distracted with ministry, or you're distracted with your family, or you're distracted with, you know, and great things, blessings from God, great types of things that we become distracted by, so distracted by that oftentimes we lose sight of what it looks like for us to seek first the kingdom of God. Priorities. I'm still thinking about that Monday. And I'm still thinking about all that stuff I've got to do. And I'm thinking somewhere in there, you know, there's this understanding that if I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom of God, then that means that's changed my Monday a little bit, maybe. What's it look like for me to seek God on Monday? What's it look like? You know, I think there's just a couple of givens. First of all, you know, priorities are what they are, the things that are most important to us. It's making the time for those things, whatever those things are. And I'll just be the first to say, you don't want me to come and like set your calendar up, okay? It'd be bad for probably everybody involved, okay? Nobody wants my calendar, and I don't want to help anybody with theirs. You're better off without my help on your calendar. There are plenty of other people that are great at that kind of thing in this world. Maybe I can point you in the direction of some of them if you need help with that. But the truth is that for us to seek first the kingdom of God means that we're not just thinking about Sundays. We're not just thinking about, you know, just the little things that we've committed to. This is a life changing commitment where we are seeking God in everything that we do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all these things will be added unto you. I think that we forget oftentimes that when we seek first Jesus, when we seek His kingdom and we quit seeking our kingdom, that He begins to work things out in our lives for us. He begins to map things out. He begins to give us opportunities. I look back on life, and it's so easy to look back and want to feel guilty about stuff, but I think about all the days that I have not sought the Lord, and I think about, I guarantee you there's probably missed opportunities of ministry where God did not put somebody in front of me because I wasn't ready to minister to them. My heart wasn't in the right place. We can't live life like that, though. We can't live life with regrets. God wants us to move forward. He doesn't want us dragging 2015 and 2014 around behind us. And the truth is that some of us, we're not even in some kind of snail's steady walk. We're like chained to it. We're chained to the things of the past. We're chained to the sin that we committed this past year that nearly destroyed our family. We're chained to it. It's become who we are. And I'm here to tell you, you are not chained to it. Jesus has freed us from those things. And He wants us to move on. And you may say, well, Chris, I'll be honest with you. I'm still hurting over some of that stuff. My own bad decisions or this thing that happened to me or whatever it is, this loss or, whatever it is. That's okay. It's okay to need to heal, okay? It's okay to need to heal. What it's not okay to do is to just become like a statue and just stay in the same place, never moving forward, never allowing God to work in your heart and use you for His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Martha was distracted. We get distracted, don't we? I was supposed to be, some of you have seen the post. I've had a couple people mention it to me this morning. I was supposed to be working on something this past week. And I got, this mean nothing to most people, but I got a car battery, okay? My dad, I'm 38 years old, and for Christmas, my dad is still helping me, piece together my hot rod, okay? All the way from 16 with a 67 Chevelle and now 38 with a 67 Mustang. Not much different, except it's better. We won't go there, okay? But no, for real, like I got this battery. I was supposed to be working. I was supposed to be doing a job for somebody. And my dad, like I get a phone call and there's a guy who goes to Dad's church. He works at Advance Auto Parts. Said, "Hey, Chris, this is Jerry and... your dad called me and he wants to get you a battery for part of your Christmas present. I'm going to drop that off at your house." He lives pretty close. He said, "I'm going to drop that off at the house if that's okay. Just tell me which one." I told him. I was kind of shocked. I didn't know he was doing that. I get the battery. I'm in the middle of supposed to be working on this other thing. And I was like, I'm putting that battery in my car. My car has been sitting for quite some time. I hadn't heard it run in a little while, And so, immediately I get the battery in the car. Just within 20 seconds of getting the battery in the car and all hooked up, I'm in the car and have the car started and I've backed it out and I'm revving the motor and I'm sure that the neighbors are like, "Oh my gosh, that thing is back. I wish that thing would just break again," And I'm just distracted, And that's what happens to us. We get distracted. We get distracted. And you know what? It's okay to enjoy stuff. It's okay to enjoy the shiny things of the world. But we've got to seek first. There's that word again, first, the kingdom of God. And the problem is that for so many of us, we find ourselves, we're seeking our kingdom and not His. And I'll tell you, when we first hear that, sometimes the temptation for us is to go, "Well, I like my kingdom. I like building my thing, and I'm pretty good at it, and yada yada." But the truth is that when we're not seeking His kingdom, we're missing out on Him. We're missing out on what He wants to do. We're missing out on His plan. when we seek first the kingdom of God, God begins to work and move in our hearts and in our lives in ways that we probably never expected or never knew that He would. I'll challenge you. I didn't do this in the first service. I challenge you to every day for the next week when you get up, spend some time in prayer. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord first thing every day for the next week. And you see if by the end of the week, if your thought processes don't change just a little bit, if not a whole lot. Be honest with the Lord. Seek Him. Spend time in His Word. God's going to begin to move in your heart. He's going to begin to give you passions about things. He's going to begin to do things and well up in you things that He wants to do that you're going to want to do. You're going to find yourself like wanting to do things that are not for you, but things that are for His kingdom. That's a big deal. But seek first, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in verse 34, it says this, and I think it's worth noting because we see it in the Luke passage as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Anxious. If you go back to the passage in Luke, when Jesus responds to Martha, He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about these things." And then what's He saying in verse 42? "But one thing is necessary." You see what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, you're anxious and troubled about these things, but one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Seek first the kingdom of God. It is so simple. It is so simple, but we are so distracted, aren't we? We are so distracted. And I think for so many people, we have a hard time with having this mind of Christ. If you look at Colossians 3, the very first verse in Colossians 3, it says this. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." That is so hard for us to do. To have a mind, the mind of Christ, to be focused on the things of God, of His kingdom. So hard for us to do. And I think a lot of it is when we have moments. Maybe you're having a moment right now, and just hang in here with me, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If you're having a moment right now, if you are a believer, and some of you may be sitting here and going, I don't even know Jesus. I'm just hanging out here at church today. All right, cool. We're glad you're here. But you can listen to this too, because it'll apply if you believe, if you choose to believe. So many of us, when we have these moments of realization of, oh my gosh, my life is kind of going crazy, And the temptation is we want to be doers. We want to be Marthas. And we just want to fix it. That's especially for guys. We just want to fix it. We're like, oh, okay, what do I got to do to fix it? And so we begin to like think about how am I going to fix it? And then we look at life and we go, life is so crazy, I'm just overwhelmed by it. I, especially before Christmas, my basement was a complete wreck. There were parts everywhere and trash, boxes. I don't even know where the boxes come from. I feel like I'm having a fire like every other day just to get rid of the boxes. You know, I mean, it's just tools everywhere. I mean, just junk everywhere. So I go down, and I'm like, man, I got to clean. I'm one of these, like, for me to work in the space, it kind of needs to be clean. And so if I'm going to get in there and I'm going to really start to work on something, I have to pick everything up first and kind of sweep and put the tools where they're supposed to go. And then I can begin to work. It's kind of OCD, but I don't really get to live in the world where it gets to stay that way. So it just drives me crazy. And so I go down the basement, and we've been, you know, working all this stuff for people before Christmas and stuff. And I get down there. I'm like, oh, go down here, and I'm going to clean this thing up. And I get down there, and there is stuff everywhere. And I was just like, I believe I'm going to turn the light off and go back upstairs. That's what I did. And I'm afraid that's what we do as believers. When we have these moments of clarity, like maybe you're having right now, maybe you're having a moment of clarity right now where you're going, you know what? I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God in my life. And I know some specific things that I should probably do, but I don't have a clue of how I'm going to work that into my crazy life. And we're just like, I'm going to turn the lights off and go back upstairs. It's nice to hear it, right? It's nice to hear. It's nice to, like, let, you know, God kind of convicts your heart a little bit. And you're like, that's good today. That's good. You know, what am I going to do about that? Well, I don't know. Let's just go eat some Mexican food. Let's don't worry about it right now, right? I mean, that's a Sunday, right? For so many people, like, God's moved in your heart and it's like, well, I don't know what to do that. Let's just go eat, right? Let me say this. As your pastor and as your friend, I want God to work in your life. There's nothing more that I could want for you than that. Number one, I want you to know Him. I want you to trust Him with everything you've got. But I want Him to work in your life. I want Him to use you for the kingdom of God. And instead of being people that are dragging around 2013 junk behind them, I want you to be free from that. I want you to be reminded that Jesus has freed you from that. And I want you to be reminded that Jesus created you for His glory. And He has given you talents and passions. And one of the prayers that I pray as a pastor, you know, as a pastor here at 24, is that I just sometimes just go, God, would you at some point, someday, take the people of your church and take their passions and their desires and use them all for your kingdom? What in the world would this church look like if God were to work through us like that? People would be saved. People that don't know Jesus would walk through the door. They would see your passion. They would see your heart. People that you work with would be saved. People in your family that you gave up on 10 years ago would be saved. You know why? Because the rest of the world is still dragging around 2014, and they don't know how to get rid of it. They're still wallowing in it and going, oh, woe is me. You know, can't somebody come over here and help me with these dishes? Right? Martha, Martha, Martha. It should be Marcia. Let's just face it. It would be great if it was, right? Martha, come on. Come on. God created you with a purpose. And He wants to do things with you for His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. If you do that, if you seek first the kingdom of God, the outcoming of that is going to be God is going to move in your heart. He's going to begin to give you things. Some things will scare you. I'll just tell you, I love having the conversations with the people that come along because we started a church. I love having the conversations with the dudes that come along. And I can always tell when I'm like the first person that they've ever told, other than maybe like their wife or something. And they're like, oh, I need to talk to you about something. I'm like, okay. I'm like, are you sick? And they're like, no, no, God's doing something. I'm like, oh, he's wanting you to start church, isn't he? And they're like, how did you know? Let me tell you what. If God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that today. Colossians 3:16, I just felt like that this was appropriate. I'm just pulling this one verse out further down from the others that we looked at. After talking about the mind of Christ, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is what Mary was doing. This is what Mary was doing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I mean, here, and there's, this is a cause and effect. If you'll pay real close attention, if we do the first part, if we let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, what will happen naturally is that we will begin to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Some of you are going, hey, I'm no teacher. No, I'm not talking about like you got to stand up in front of the class or in front of the congregation. I'm talking about to one another, admonishing one another, teaching one another, challenging one another to grow in Christ. I'm telling you, this is what God's leading us to do. What if in 2016, what if you began the year and ended the year seeking first the kingdom of God and not your own kingdom? What changes there? What changes would happen in your life if that was true for you? What if in 2016... you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, but not only that, you begin to teach and admonish people around you. Let's just make up something. Let's get crazy. All right, here we go. Let's just say you took an hour every week and you met with a couple of people that also need people pushing them toward Jesus. And you just said, hey, let's get together. Maybe it's on lunch break. Maybe it's before you go to work. At Wendy's, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's Saturday morning, whatever it is. You get together, eat breakfast, you don't eat nothing. I don't care, it doesn't matter to me. But you're spending a few moments just, hey, we're going to read this chapter of Scripture this week. Let's pray over it. Let's talk about next week how God's speaking to our hearts through it. How can we pray for one another, and let's pray for one another. Amazing things begin to happen when people gather together around God's word and seek him together. Admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing. Here's what happens. We walk downstairs to the basement and we see the mess of our life. And we just say, I don't have time to deal with this right now. Let's just turn the light off and go upstairs. Here's the problem with that. The problem is this. There is an evil one. And he's coming after you. And he's attacking and tempting, and probably more than anything, he wants you to believe something. You know what it is? Lies. He wants you to believe lies. And in his hope, Satan's hope, in trying to get us to believe lies, is all about trying to get us to turn the light off and go back upstairs. He wants us to quit before we ever get started. He doesn't want us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And the truth is that his lies are exactly that. They're lies. And he wants us to believe them about ourselves. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not talented enough. You're not this. You're not that. And the truth is it's lies. How do I know? You say, Chris, you don't know me. How could you even say that about me? You don't know me. This is how I know. You are God's creation. And he created you for his glory. That makes all of that lies. Okay? Every bit of that just became lies. So all of the stuff that he's been trying to get you to believe so that you'll turn the light off and go back upstairs and just say, you know what? I got too much going on to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. If we turn the light off and we go back upstairs, he wins. He wins, and we miss living life. You didn't know you were missing it, did you? We miss living life when we miss living it for the kingdom of God. God has a plan. And part of that is, yeah, we'll make mistakes along the way. We'll fall into sin. But the truth is that Jesus frees us from that stuff, and we gotta walk away and heal. And sometimes we heal through the serving and spending time with others and you know, the one-on-one, the teaching and admonishing kind of stuff. Sometimes that's where we heal. You know, I think sometimes we just want like the magic wand of like, well, I want God to heal me and then I'll go do what he wants me to do. The truth is a lot of times he heals us in the what he wants us to do, okay? And so what we do is we keep banking on who we've been in the past and letting that keep us for who God wants us to be in the future. Modern day theologian. Quote. Ready for it? From Alice Cooper. You know Alice Cooper, right? Very good. John, I know you're with me, buddy. Thank you. He's a believer, if you didn't know. Very outspoken about it. Says this. Says it's real easy to focus on Alice Cooper and not on Christ. I'm a rock singer. I consider myself low, low on the totem pole of knowledgeable Christians. So don't look for answers from me. I'm a new creature now. Don't judge Alice. This is him. Don't judge Alice by what he used to be. Praise God for what I am now. We need to be reminded of that. You know, we don't forget about those things in the past. And sometimes that's hard for us. And I realize that I have things in my past I kind of wish I could forget sometimes too. But the truth is that when I really think about it and I think about the gospel, I'm glad that I don't forget those things. And here's why. Because of what Alice Cooper said, oddly enough. Praise God for what I am now. If we forgot all that stuff, we would forget the great work that God has done in us. I close with this little passage here out of Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 8, it says this. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What more could we ask for in this life than the God of peace to be with us? You may be sitting here going, I don't even know this God of peace you're talking about. Let me tell you something. God sent his only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, to be the perfect sacrifice, that he would die on a cross, the death that we deserve for our sin, that if we'd believe in him, and trust in Him, that we would be saved. The great part of that is that the story doesn't end there. They put Him in a grave, and death couldn't keep Him, and He came back. And it's not a fairy tale. It's history. No matter what the world wants to tell you, it's history. The thousands of manuscripts, thousands of people that saw Jesus, saw Him die, saw Him after death, are proof to us. We don't have to wonder about this. This is the real deal. Other people talk about heaven, a God. He is God. And He came because He loves us and He wants to save us. And He's got a purpose for us. It's not just about fire insurance, not just about, you know, all that. It is because He has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. And believe it or not, as exciting as any plan that you may come up with, His is better. His is more exciting. His is more fulfilling. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't trade His for the world. Quit letting 2015 dictate who you are. Let's let a mind of Christ do that. Let's pray together.